live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Akilah Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the government has been heavily criticised after revelations Donegal will not receive any share of the extra €18 million announced today for storm-damaged roads. Meanwhile, there are calls for urgent clarity in the government's position on reopening the short-stay ward at Letterkenny University Hospital. Submissions have been delivered to Jan Post today on behalf of communities in Bombeg and Bonaleg in a bid to halt the imminent closure of the local post offices. And a local farmer says he is glad to have been part of the discovery of four gold rings in Donegal, which have gone on display at the National Museum of Ireland today. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15. But first news, the government has today announced an €18 million fund for local authorities under a new special maintenance grant to assist in the repair of regional and local roads damaged by severe weather events. However, there is mounting criticism as it's emerged no funding has been allocated for Donegal. €15 million from central government is to be shared between 25 local authorities by the year's end, while an additional €3 million is being provided to the TII. Donegal Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher has been outlining the reasoning put forward by the Department of Transport for omitting Donegal from this latest tranche of funding.
The defence of the department is that Donegal wasn't included because we got a special allocation early this year, and rightly so, because that largely went, not exclusively, but largely went to Neshone, where so much damage was caused there last year. But of course, this doesn't suggest that we shouldn't get any out of this additional allocation. I'm absolutely furious about this, and no one can understand why there are 25 counties and Donegal omitted it from this. Other parts of the county, the west and south, deserve special recognition as well. And of course, we can all understand as a result of the catastrophic damage in North Donegal last year, that the vast majority would go there. But there are other parts of the county, and this was the opportunity. Now, what I must do, I have to check if the department invited applications for this additional funding, and I'm quite sure if they did, the Donegal County Council are always to the fore in submitting applications.
And while you mentioned that €10 million had been allocated to the county earlier this year, it was to address those serious issues in Neshone. It does not cover what is needed in the rest of the county. We still need more funding to address very serious outstanding issues in other parts.
Well, of the €10 million, €7 million of that was drawn down at the end of September, and I'm sure some further milling since then. Of course, Donegal is a huge county and needs, if we even got a fair and equitable share of this.
Meanwhile, Minister Joe McHugh has moved to defend the government's allocation of the funding. He says the money has been sanctioned for roads which have been damaged in storms such as Storm Emma, and that no funding application was submitted by Donegal County Council. There are calls for urgent clarity in the government's position on reopening the short-stay ward at Letterkenny University Hospital. Earlier this month, Minister Joe McHugh announced that funding would be forthcoming from the extra money allocated to health as part of Budget 2019. However, the Health Minister has failed to specifically cite Letterkenny as one of the locations where additional beds are to be rolled out next year. Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty fears it could be a further 2 years before progress is made on the reopening of the 19-bed ward.
It could be up until 2 years before these beds are made available. It is simply not acceptable. We had 27 people lying on trolleys yesterday, while a couple of hundred feet away there was a 20-bedded ward that just needed the go-ahead from the minister. The €1.8 million recruit the nurses and the ancillary staff to actually man those beds. And what we need is now urgent clarification from the minister, and indeed from Joe McHugh, who gave the impression that this was all signed, sealed and delivered, and all we needed to do was recruit staff. So from my point of view, I'm going to continue to heap pressure on this government until we get every single one of those beds opened and lift the pressure from the hospital.
But Minister McHugh, and indeed the government's pledge, still stands. It hasn't been retracted or anything like that. Should we not have more faith that this will happen, if not in the short term, at least maybe within the year?
Oh, I have no doubt that this is going to happen. There's no doubt about it that these beds will be opened, and I think that's in no small part to the campaign that's been organised on the ground by people out there that called out the government in relation to this. The issue here is when this is going to happen. There is no reason why these beds cannot be opened over this winter. Indeed, as I said, 80 beds are going to be opened in different areas throughout the country, but none of them are going to be in Donegal, despite Letterkenny time and time again being one of the worst hospitals in relation to overcrowding, and still no clarification whether a year from now that this will happen. The only commitment that the government have given so far in relation to Letterkenny University Hospitals is that the beds will be open before the end of 2020, and that's not acceptable.
Submissions have been delivered to senior management of AmPOS today on behalf of the communities in Bunbeg and Bunalek in a bid to halt the imminent closure of the local post offices. The documents outlining a number of arguments in favour of retaining the branches were compiled in consultation with local community stakeholders, and along with a signed petition were presented to the public affairs manager with AmPOS by Donegal deputies Pat the Cope Gallagher, Pierce Doherty and Thomas Pringle. It will be difficult to identify the remains buried at the site of the former mother and baby home in Tuam, according to the Taoiseach. Legislation needs to be approved by the Dáil before a full excavation of the site can begin. Leo Radker says it will be a complicated process, but that it's the right thing to do.
There are the remains of children in there. Some are stillborn, some were stillborn, some are older. And there may also be adult remains in there as well, because it was a workhouse prior to that. And of course, it was used during the famine period as well. So there will be remains, potentially adult remains as well, and remains from a very long period of time, potentially.
A local farmer has been recalling the day he unearthed a 3,000-year-old treasure trove in Tully Donnell Lore in Donegal earlier this year. The Tully Donnell hoard, which consists of 4 gold rings and weighs over 4 kilos, goes on display in the National Museum today, and it will go on temporary loan to the Donegal County Museum next year. Norman Witherow made the major discovery while he and others were carrying out drainage works. Speaking on the 9 till noon show earlier today, he says he's glad to have played a part in the story.
Well, we had no real appreciation of what we had found. Like, we certainly knew it was something different and something interesting, but never for a moment thought that it was 3,000 years old or it was as historically significant as it has turned out. We reported it the next morning to the National Museum, and the whole thing just sort of kicked on from there. We did the right thing, and we're glad that we did the right thing, because, you know, it's of significance, importance, and it's about more than the commercial value, it's historical value. So, you know, it's a good news story, and we're glad to be part of it.
A 21-year-old man has been arrested following 2 burglaries in the Sign Mills area at the weekend. St. Teresa's Church and a restaurant across the street were both targeted by thieves in the early hours of Sunday morning. 2 tills and an ATM reader were stolen from the restaurant. The man who was arrested last night has been released on police bail pending further inquiries. Progress is being made to address what's been described as sinking issues at a Glenties housing estate. Clochneave Connell was built over 13 years ago, with some gardens, paths and walkways around homes reportedly starting to collapse shortly thereafter. Various health and safety issues have been highlighted over the years, with preliminary work set to be commencing today. Local community activist Liam White says while it seems progress is finally being made, it's regrettable it took so long.
Thankfully, the work is going to tender now in the next couple of weeks. That's what the council tells us, to upgrade the sewage system and storm drain in the place, because there's been a number of flooding issues over this past couple of years, and a certain amount of houses are getting flooded every time with a bit of heavy rainfall. That's not the only issues this faces. The houses are actually in good solid foundation, they're piled, but the outside footpath, garden, lawns have all collapsed and continue to collapse outside a number of houses in the estate. So it's going to take a hell of a lot of funding to correct the outside works and the groundworks around the houses and Clawson Common. But thankfully the storm drain is going to be upgraded in the coming months.
Now, the estate was built, as we know, over 13 years ago, and these issues have been highlighted for quite some time, haven't they?
Yes, well, I know myself and Michael Collum and Thomas Pringle have been in there this last 4 or 5 years, highlighting these issues to the council and to other agencies, with very little success, it has to be said, to date. But hopefully now in the coming months, in the coming years, these houses can be repaired once and for all.
Investigations are continuing after a man died following a shooting at a farmhouse in Cork last night. The deceased has been named locally as 58-year-old Derry Coakley from Macroom. The incident occurred at around 11:30 last night in the Rawley area of Macroom. It's understood he rang a friend following the shooting, who then contacted Gardaí after finding him with a gunshot wound. He was pronounced dead at the scene. A man in his 60s has been arrested and is being questioned at Bandon Garda Station under Section 50 of the Criminal Justice Act. Former Macroom councillor Martin Coughlin was a close friend of Derry Coakley.
He was a fantastic operator. He was you could give him a job, and you didn't have to stay with him because you know the job was going to be done and done to perfection. He was a perfectionist, like, you know. And I don't know what to say to you, because I am certainly in a state of shock myself, you know. And when I talk about this, I get fairly emotional, like, you know.
Presidential hopeful Peter Casey says travellers get unfair financial benefits by having ethnic status. He made the claims during last night's television debate between all the candidates. Mr Casey's remarks sparked criticism from Senator Joan Freeman and others.
We're the ones who are excluding them. And you know, Peter, if you weren't being racist and if you weren't saying this terrible thing, then why not apologise?
What terrible thing did I say, Joan?
Why not apologise?
Of course, I've got nothing to apologise for, Joan. I did not say
things to apologise for.
Meanwhile, Peter Casey also says he spent less than €80,000 on his presidential campaign. The former Dragon's Den star says he spent €23,000 on research, media training and consultancy. Another €20,000 was spent on printing costs, with €18,000 on travel and accommodation. He says his campaign expenses are proof that less is more. A demonstration project for the new Gidor sewage system is to be finalised in the coming months. Irish Water, in partnership with Donegal County Council, is working to develop a plan for the provision of a sewage scheme for the residents and businesses in the area. Greg Hughes has more.
The utility says that the solution will meet the needs of the local community and ensure compliance with the Urban Wastewater Treatment Directive. Significant progress has been reportedly made in developing the plan for how Irish Water will deliver the project. Irish Water is designing the project to ensure that when it is built, it will have enough capacity to ensure further development in Gwydor. Over 40 homes have signed up to the demonstration project, and initial surveys of these homes have been completed. Irish Water says they wish to thank the people of Gwydor for their support in this. Irish Water will be again engaging on a one-to-one basis with householders over the next number of weeks to finalise layouts for systems. Householders will be notified in advance of these individual meetings being arranged.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Track your daily fitness with a Fitbit or Garmin tracker from michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's now 14 minutes past five and time for the latest sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with rugby, and Joe Smith has named three uncapped players in his Ireland squad for next month's Autumn Internationals. Ulster centre Will Addison, Munster centre Sammy Arnold and Leinster out half Ross Byrne all make the 42-man squad for the test with Italy, the All Blacks, Argentina and the USA. John Cooney provides cover for Luke McGrath and Kieran Marmion at scrum half in the absence of Conor Murray. Murray, meanwhile, has been shedding some light on the injury that has kept him out of action. The Munster scrum half hasn't played since the third test of Ireland's summer series won over Australia due to a neck injury. Murray now says he's been suffering with a bulging disc in his neck, but hopes to be back by the end of November. He says he's been partaking in 90% of Munster's training sessions for the past 3 weeks. And Dublin-born Ian McKinley is set to face Ireland at Soldier Field on November the 3rd. The Benetton out half has been named on Italy's bench for the first of Ireland's Autumn Internationals in Chicago. McKinley has played his trade in Italy since 2013. After the use of pioneering goggles, allowing him to overcome a career-threatening eye injury. Ulster flanker Jan Dezel is the latest player in rugby to have his career cut short. He has made three Pro 14 appearances for the Northern Province this season, but has decided to call time on his playing days due to a combination of lower body injuries. In Gaelic games, St Union's College marked their return to the McCrory Cup with a 2-8 to 2-5 victory over the highly fancied Prescience College from Carrickmacross today. Played at Drumrahan, County Tyrone, the Letterkenny side scored two first half penalties to lead 2-4 to 2-2 at the break. Conor O'Donnell converted both in the 13th and 24th minute. He also chipped in with 2 points. Pádraic McGilligan knocked over 2 frees, while Shane O'Donnell scored the other 3 points from play. St Una's next game in the Senior A Schools competition is against St Pat's of Armagh in a couple of weeks' time. Manager of St Una's is Colin McFadden.
It's great to get the one, I'd say, and it's a tough hard battle. I mean, usually tough enough to play a Carrick and Frost team that had no fewer than 7 of last year's 90 minors lined up for them. So that was a tough game now, and you know, with a sucker punch in the first half, we conceded 2 goals within maybe 5 or 6 minutes, but the boys get dug deep and they kept playing away and kept finding the result out. And, you know, thankfully we were able to hold on there at the end. It was up and tough at the end, and probably our discipline in the second half was probably helped see us through. Carrick kind of got a wee bit carried away themselves, and our boys kept their heads and kept plugging away.
Yeah, it was a real close first half. 4 goals in total, 2 apiece, and both of yours came from penalties, Conor O'Donnell.
Yeah, both Kevin penalties. Both sides were probably came through and rolling when we were taken down the last minute. And probably two or three goals in the first half, with 3 or 4 other goal chances. We could have talked to even October points, you know, and been a more comfortable half time. But if we're happy enough, then at half time, been 3 points up, considering, or 2 points up, considering we were, as I said, those 2 goals close together.
St Union's College manager Colin McFadden, and you can hear more from him in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. Moving on to some other colleges action, but on the soccer front today in League One, there was defeat, unfortunately, in Dublin for the LYIT of Letterkenny as they lost out to Blanchardstown IT by 5-2. In the Champions League, Tottenham and Liverpool will look to get their campaigns back on track tonight. After losing to Napoli last time out, Liverpool face a crucial Group C game against Red Star Belgrade at Anfield. Manager Jurgen Klopp is expecting a tough challenge tonight.
Belgrade is the team of Serbia, so very experienced, good footballing, used to dominant football in Serbia and made life really complicated for Naples and for PSG. And sorted. They have the ball, defend whatever you have. We have the ball, attack with whatever we have, and protect for the moment when we lose the ball.
Spurs are in the Netherlands to take on PSV Eindhoven in one of today's early kickoffs. Both sides have lost their first 2 group games. Spurs boss Mauricio Pochettino doesn't think it will be a disaster if they don't make the next round of the competition.
I think it's not a setback. It's not if, in case that we will be not on the next stage of the Champions League, is only will be a situation that can happen. Last season we were in a very good position. Today is not like last season, but every season is different.
That game gets underway at 5-6, and Barcelona lead the pool but will be without Lionel Messi for the top of the table clash with Inter Milan at the Camp Nou tonight. A back problem has ruled Eden Hazard out of Chelsea's Europa League meeting with Bate Borisov. The Italian international midfielder Jorginho will be rested for the game. Meanwhile, Chelsea fullback Marcos Alonso has committed his future to the club. He signed a 5-year deal that will run until 2023. West Bromwich Albion will go top of the Championship table if they beat Derby County at the Hawthorns this evening. Leeds United will also overtake the current leaders Middlesbrough if they beat Ipswich Town at Elland Road. Harry Kenny is poised to be named the new manager of St Patrick's Athletic. The former Bray Wanderers boss is reportedly the preferred candidate to succeed Liam Buckley at Richmond Park. A number of figures have been linked with a vacant position in Inchicore, including former Republic of Ireland captain Kenny Cunningham. Finally, just back to Gaelic games and looking ahead to tonight's GA programme here in Highland. Tom Comack will be joined by members of the Robert Emmetts Club as they celebrate their 100th anniversary this year. He'll be joined by club members Sam Gallagher, Tara Carter and Gary Doherty. Usual throw-in time to the GA programme on Wednesday in Highland is 8:30, and I'll be back with our next bulletin tomorrow morning after the 8 news, Michaela.
Thanks, Oisin. The EU must stand firm when it comes to supporting the backstop deal on Brexit, and there can be no turning back from last December's agreement on it. That's the view of Midlands North West MEP Matt Carthy, who was speaking in the European Parliament in Strasbourg. Matt Carthy says he's been reassured by senior EU Brexit negotiators that the backstop agreement will not be sacrificed to secure a Brexit deal with Theresa May's government.
Let's remember that the backstop in itself doesn't resolve all of the Brexit-related issues that are created on a cross-border basis. It doesn't, for example, include services. It doesn't include the rights of citizens in the north of Ireland. So there's lots of areas that need to be addressed, even above and beyond the backstop. But what is absolutely quite clear is that that backstop must be the bottom line. And that's the message that I've been bringing to the European Parliament this week. Speaking to colleagues, Sinn Féin met with Michel Barnier. We put to him very clearly that the EU must stand firm. The message that we've been receiving from all our partners here in Europe has been that they are willing to stand firm. And I think the onus is now very much on the Irish government to ensure that it doesn't divert into any iota from that central position, that the backstop is the bottom line. And rather than accepting any deviation to that, we should be seeking to strengthen it. And I think what Theresa May has put forward is absurd. It doesn't make any logical sense for those people who understand why the backstop was necessary in the first place. And I think that goes to the crux of the problem. The British government simply don't understand Ireland, north or south, and they certainly don't have the best interests of the people of Ireland, north or south, in their considerations as they move forward.
Ahead of a joint trade and investment mission to the US next month, a high-level inward investment team from Pennsylvania and Philadelphia have travelled to the Northwest. 9 businesses from the Donegal and Derry City and Strabane District Council areas will visit Philadelphia and Boston in November to build on a number of linkages already established in both cities with the Northwest City region. Meanwhile, a group from Pennsylvania and the City of Philadelphia travelled to the Northwest this week as part of an inward investment visit where they visited a number of local businesses, including E&I Engineering in Burnfoot. Mayor of Derry City and Strabane District Council, Councillor John Boyle, says the benefits of this collaborative approach from councils on both sides of the border is already starting to show.
We did have a very high-level delegation from the state of Pennsylvania and very specifically the city of Philadelphia. And I feel it's a great boost for our area to see people of that calibre coming, which gives us an opportunity to showcase our city and our region for investment and for collaborative working on a range of sectors, including business, tourism and education. We here have a strategic partnership between Derry City and Strabane District Council and Donegal County Council, and we've been working very closely together in trying to provide a two-way street in many senses, in that we would see opportunities for businesses in the northwest of Ireland who could locate in Pennsylvania and Philadelphia, but also opportunities for direct investment into Donegal and into Derry and Strabane as well. It's actually very timely because, again, a delegation from Derry City and Strabane and Donegal County Council will be visiting Philadelphia and Boston in just under 3 weeks' time.
And indeed, all these trade missions are indeed a positive sign that there is investment opportunities.
That's what we're working very, very hard on. We're trying to increase those investment opportunities to create employment. We have a highly skilled, well-educated workforce here in the Northwest. Not only that, but it's a young workforce and we are cost competitive. We have a high level of digital connectivity. And so we're very keen to explore existing trade and export relationships for companies from the Northwest in Philadelphia, and also to see that perhaps there will be opportunities for foreign direct investment from the US into Northwest Ireland.
For weather now, staying rather cloudy but mostly dry for the rest of today with a few patches of drizzle. It will be cloudy tonight but staying dry apart from a few patches of drizzle in coastal areas, and lowest temperatures of 6 to 9 degrees in moderate westerly winds. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, the government has today announced an €18 million fund for local authorities under new special maintenance grant to assist in the repair of regional and local roads damaged by severe weather events. However, there is mounting criticism as it's emerged no funding has been allocated for Donegal. Meanwhile, there are calls for urgent clarity on the government's position on the reopening of the short-stay ward at Letterkenny University Hospital. The Health Minister has failed to specifically cite Letterkenny as one of the locations where additional beds are to be rolled out next year. Submissions have been delivered to senior management of Van Post today on behalf of the communities in Bombeig and Bonaleg in a bid to halt the imminent closure of the local post offices. And a demonstration project for the new Gidor sewage system is to be finalised in the coming months. Irish Water, in partnership with Donegal County Council, is working to develop a plan for the provision of a sewage scheme for the residents and businesses in the area. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, October the 24th. The death has taken place of Patrick James Jimmy McCann of 20 Brookfield Close, Omagh. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral arrangements to be confirmed. The death has occurred of Eamon Houston, 74 Strabane Old Road, Derry. Funeral leaving his home on Saturday morning at 9:20, going to St Columb's Church at Chapel Road for Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock, interment afterwards in Ardmore Cemetery. The death has taken place of Shen Harkin, St Anthony's Muff. Remains will repose at his late residence from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral arrangements to be confirmed later. The death has occurred of Mary Eddie O'Donnell, Crahy Boyle, Dunlow. Removal from McGlynn's funeral home this evening at 6 o'clock, going to her late residence, Rosary Both Nights at 9 o'clock. Funeral mass on Friday afternoon in St Cronus Church, Dunlow at 2 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 10 a.m. Family flowers only, donations in lieu if desired, to Dunlow Patients Comfort Fund, care of any family member or Sean McGlynn, funeral director. The death has taken place of Frank Winters, 72 Liskey Road, Strabane. Remains are reposing at his home. Funeral leaving his home on Friday morning at 9:15 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. Family time please from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Sonny McCready, Derry Laconnell, Duhurry. His remains are reposing at his residence. Funeral mass in Duhurry on Friday morning at 11 o'clock, followed by interment afterwards in the new graveyard. Rosary both nights at 9 o'clock, family time on Friday morning before the funeral. The death has taken place of Annabella Shields, Bella, 2 Forge Road, Mount Charles, formerly of Glenray, Glen Carrigard. Her remains will repose at her late residence until 11 o'clock tonight. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 for 11 o'clock mass in the Sacred Heart Church, Mount Charles. Burial afterwards to St. Columba's Graveyard, Termin, Letterkenny at approximately 2 o'clock. Family flowers only, donations in lieu to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. And the death has taken place of Geraldine Doherty, 19 Oakland Park, Strabane. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 9:20 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmont at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time please from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m.